This morning we're going to be continuing to look at decision-making processes in our lives. A couple weeks ago, last week, what was last week? Mother's Day, very good. Mother's Day, we kind of looked at the life of Ruth, an overall view from the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. But the first week, we started into a new series and we looked at a danger during difficult days. Difficult days can come into our lives in a number of different ways. And as we looked at a danger during difficult days, we looked at a family that left Israel and they traveled to what place? Moab. Moab. They were not supposed to leave Israel. God's plan was for Israel to remain in Israel. They left and went to Moab. And what happened? Everybody died. What a great story, huh? The book of Ruth is about many things. It's a love story, but it doesn't start very good. That's not a good beginning. But what happened is the father, Elimelech, died. The two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, died. And so Naomi and her daughter-in-laws are left. So we looked at that. We looked at making decisions. And actually, on that particular Sunday a couple weeks ago, I talked to you about making decisions that go against God's will. Don't do it. We talked about God's will and how we could find that and determine that. We talked about in our decision-making processes that we pray about it, obviously, that we seek wise counsel. Now, there's a difference between seeking counsel and seeking wise counsel. Wise counsel would involve somebody who you know walks with God. Somebody that probably has had the experience before. So seek wise counsel. Then I said what? List the pros and cons. Make the decision. And what's the last thing? Live with the consequences. Good or bad. Hopefully good, but sometimes not. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at two women making decisions. Ruth and Orpah. These are the two ladies in Ruth chapter 1. And we're going to look at their decisions. And it's going to give us some guidelines. It's not going to be exactly, I outlined some steps to take. Their approach is going to be a little different, but yet very important and essential in making decisions. So the series is entitled what? Living During... You guys are really there today, aren't you? Living During what? Right. What are we doing today? And what page are we on in the Blue Bibles? I'm so glad you're here now. Good to have you here. Page 188, Ruth chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 22 as we continue this story. And this will finish out Ruth 1. And then in the coming weeks, we have what? Ruth chapter 2, Ruth chapter 3, Ruth chapter 4. And you know what? I'm pretty brilliant. Put that together, aren't I? Just right like that. The Sunday after that, we're going to look at how to be a good mother-in-law. The Sunday after that, we're going to look at it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day that Sunday. And we're going to look at how to be a desirable man. So that's where this series is going. And that particular Sunday in the afternoon, I leave to go overseas and go to the country of Georgia again and spend two Sundays there. So anyway, it's good to have you here. This is where we're at this morning, making decisions in difficult days. Whew! Good stuff. It is warm. John, you're going to get here this week, right, my friend? Amen. Amen. They're going to love you and celebrate recovery, too. That's great. All right, here we go. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. All right. When she, and the she is Naomi, when she heard in Moab, they're still in Moab, not in Israel, that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. Okay, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. So they've been there for a while. Again, unfortunately, everybody's died. All the men have died. So the famine is not as severe, and so we're going to go back to Israel now. And she's trying to figure out, this would be Naomi, what am I going to do with my two daughter-in-laws? Verse 8, then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead, meaning their husbands and Elimelech, and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the house of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. There must have been a pretty good relationship there. It was. That's why we're going to look at how to be a good mother-in-law in about 4 weeks or so, because this lady did a very good job, Naomi did, with her daughter-in-laws. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. So the two daughter-in-laws said back to Naomi, no, we'll stay with you. But Naomi said, now this is an interesting conversation, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? That would be tough, wouldn't it? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Stay in your land, daughter-in-laws. Find husbands. Have families. Stay here. So she has this interaction with both of these ladies. Now we're going to look at two reactions over the next couple of verses, all right? Verse 14, at this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15, look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. All right, so we're seeing the first reaction here is the daughter-in-law called Orpah. And she says, okay, sounds good. I really do want a husband. I want that. She's telling me to do this, so I'm going to go ahead and stay in my land and do this. It's interesting. The one thing that Naomi says that is interesting here is, go follow her gods. The Moabites worshipped many gods. Chemel was one of them, or Chemish. And it was idolatry. It was not the one true God. And so she is making a decision here, yes, to pursue a husband there, but more than that, it's interesting to point to pursue and worship other gods, because that's where she's going to be, and that's going to be the influence on her life. She made that decision. You've got to be careful when you make decisions, especially spiritually. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Maybe the opportunity is a good one, but what about spiritually when you make decisions? Will it enhance your walk with God? In Orpah's case, it was not going to. But that was her choice. And that's what she's going to do. So Orpah made a decision. Now look at Ruth. Here we have some of those amazing verses in the Bible that maybe you've heard, and if you've never heard them, good, you get to hear them. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave me or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And listen to this. Your God, say that with me. My God. My God. God, amazing verse. You could have heard this at a wedding, but it's actually words by Ruth. Where you die, verse 17, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Listen to the commitment she has to Naomi. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So what is Ruth, opposite of Orpah? Ruth says, I'm going to stay with you. You can't get rid of me. Your God will be my God. And I'll tell you what, Naomi was an amazing woman. To listen to this conversation and to see what's going on here, she was an amazing woman. I'm going to commit to you and your God for your life. I'm sorry, for my lifetime. It's a lifetime commitment. Now, was there any guarantee when Naomi and now Ruth start going back to Israel that it was going to be good? No way. They had no heir. Everybody died. They were poor. They were destitute. There was no promise. Nothing. And look what Ruth does. Your God will be my God. Naomi had an amazing, evidently an amazing walk with God. She had to, for Ruth to be this committed to her. So much easier. Go back to Moab. Go back to your old God. Like Orpah did. But Ruth said, there's no guarantee of anything. But I know enough about you, Naomi. It doesn't say that here. But it's just in this passage. I know enough about you and your walk with God that that's what I want. I want it for the rest of my life. Oh, an amazing woman. An amazing, amazing woman. All right, two keys for making decisions. All right, on your outline. So two keys now for making decisions. All right, then we have in a box, I believe I have a key thought, don't I? Something like that. Key thought is this, and it's the verse that I emphasize to you. Key thought, your God to be my God. Your God to be my God. She's not just following her mother-in-law. This is an amazing statement. She's making the Lord the highest priority in her life. He is going to determine her life. He's going to lead her, guide her. I want to know God. I want to know your God. And I want to do this for a lifetime. For a lifetime is what she's saying. I will die with you. Wow. Really, this is an amazing conviction that Ruth has, and we don't know much about her at this point. We don't know a lot. We know a little bit about Naomi and a little bit about Ruth, but she utters these words. My God will be your God. It's interesting. Orpah, from this verse on, we hear nothing more of Orpah. Nothing more. But what's amazing about Ruth, and we're going to look at this in following chapters and also into the New Testament, we're going to see Ruth. And Ruth is a key part of God's plan. A key part of bringing what? A Savior into the world, Jesus Christ. We're going to see she is in, she's going to be mentioned in the New Testament, Ruth is, in a genealogy, as well as in, she has her own book in the Bible. That's pretty cool. Amazing, amazing decisions. Now, based on looking at that, all right, so again, go to your outline, make decisions then, all right? Make decisions. Whoops. Thank you. Just let that one go by, John. There we go. Make decisions, then, and in this little box, I think I have three statements based on what we saw in Ruth's life that put God first in your life. Make decisions that put God first in your life. And remember Ruth 1:16. See, the thing is, we make many decisions in our life. And you know, even today, it's difficult days. Maybe there's an opportunity that's not right here, but maybe there's an opportunity somewhere else. And you're looking at this opportunity, and you should. And you should evaluate it and look at it, the pros and the cons. But today what I want to emphasize is that put God first in this decision. You're leaving and going somewhere else. How does that affect your walk with God? That is so important. Because you may, let's be honest, you may either find a job or find a job with more money. Folks, that is not the only way to make a decision. Your spiritual life is so important. And we see that Ruth made a decision to put God first with no promise of anything. Nothing. Nothing. She had nothing. When you make decisions that you evaluate, what about my spiritual walk with God? What if I go there? Will it suffer? Will it get better? Now, it is possible that it could get better. But it's also possible that it could suffer, too. Be careful. Make decisions that put God first in your life. Know, serve, and love God. Make this an important part of it. We see Ruth just towards Naomi, just caring, concerned, and people back in Israel, when she gets back there in the coming weeks, they're going to notice this about her, that she knows, loves, and serves Naomi and also God. Your decisions here need to be made in light of eternity, and I know you've heard that, in light of what's it going to do to your spiritual life. Okay? Then there's one other statement. Do this for all your life. When you evaluate making your decisions, think of Ruth. Think of my God will be your God. I want to walk with God for a lifetime. This isn't just a couple months and we'll try something else, or a couple years and we'll try something else. No, this is a lifetime. And this is what Ruth models for us. And she does such an amazing job of this. So this is not exactly the list that I gave you 2 weeks ago, but this is critical. It's even more important. We talk about prayer and praying, God, what do you have me to do? Now, I believe that God gives you a lot of freedom. I really, really do. And I think that there are opportunities, and I think you can be in God's will doing a number of different opportunities. But you must evaluate, God, is this the best thing for me? God, is this best for my spiritual life? Am I going back to a place like Orpha did? She went back to a place that was godless and in idolatry. And she was going to go, folks, my guess is, right down the tube. Possibly. I hope not. We don't know. Be real careful on those decisions. All right, now, let's go, where are we at? Verse 19. Excuse me. Verse 19. So, the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, and it's about a 30 to 50 mile trip, something like that, I think, as I was looking this week, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman exclaimed, can this be Naomi? She says this, don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went back full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So, Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. All right, you remember the first five verses. You make a decision that goes outside the will of God, there can be pretty bad consequences. And we see this in the life of Naomi. And just be so careful that you do not violate God's will, God's moral will, when you make decisions. Because we have an example here of a woman that followed her husband and the family made this decision. And I emphasize that on that first lesson. Gentlemen, be very, very careful as you make decisions with your family together. There could be consequences. And in this case, there's consequences for Naomi after her husband's death. All right. Just a thought on your outline. Kind of an isolated thought. Whoops. Hang on a second. Yep. This is the last fill-in. I'm sorry. This is the last fill-in on make decisions that show love to all the people in your life. Okay? Good. Thank you, John. See, I didn't get to go over the thing with John this morning. I was very spiritual. I was praying this morning and didn't get in here until later. Just kidding. I had a lot of things going on, so thank you. All right, John, let's go here. Think carefully about your decisions, okay? I wanted this to be a separate statement by itself. These decisions will make you and break you. Make sure as you have these decisions, as we look at God's Word, that you base them in this message, in this lesson today, your God will be my God. And I want to follow Him. I want to follow Him for the rest of my life. And is it best for me to follow Him where I am currently at? Or if I make a change, will it benefit me in my walk with Him? Just something else to put into all of your decision-making process. Very, very important. Because we see the results of Orpah nowhere. But yet Ruth and her commitment to God being blessed in an amazing, amazing way. Okay, just some thoughts about your decisions. Okay, final part on your outline is this. Sometimes you honor God no matter what decision is made. And I want to emphasize this, that I believe these are the best kind of decisions where I can stay or I can go, and I can honor God in both places. I believe you can. I believe you can. Now, it's interesting. The disciples when Jesus' ministry began, He just picked people out. And they just stopped what they were doing and followed Him. They gave up everything. What were they doing? In a sense, they were putting Him first, trusting Him, walking with Him. And then, after a period of time, they had some questions. And I'm glad they asked some questions, because these are some of the questions that we would have. One of the questions is in Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. And let's just bring these up one at a time. And here's Peter. Typically it was Peter. Peter said to Him, "You know, Lord, we have left everything to follow You." Interesting. So did Ruth. So did Ruth. All right, "We have left everything to follow You." Okay, next verse. Then Jesus responds to this. "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields, for Me and the gospel," so He says, "will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life." All right, I skipped part of it. I did it on purpose. All right, what's it saying here? The disciples gave up everything to follow Jesus too. We see Ruth doing that. Of course, at the time, her circumstances were a little different than theirs, but the disciples gave up everything. And they came to Him finally and said, "Lord, we've given up everything to follow You." And Jesus Christ replies back to them, "I will bless you. I will take care of you for following Me. For following Me." Now, it's interesting, in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, it talks about all these material things that I know about, and I know you have need for them, those things. And he even says, and with them persecution. Not only will you be blessed with material things, but you're also going to be persecuted. So He presents both sides of it. But then He says, but the reality is, the age to come, you will be blessed in eternity. And so just this whole message, I thought this was so good to draw this back, because we have the disciples doing this. We have Ruth doing this, and we have the disciples doing this. I think the bottom line just becomes, when you make decisions, what part of that decision is based on God and what He would really want for you? What part of that decision is really seeking out His will and His best? And what we have is the example of Ruth doing some amazing things for God. What we have in the New Testament are disciples that gave up everything. Jesus said, "I know you have needs. I will take care of those needs." He doesn't say those wants. He says those needs. But in addition to that, in eternity, when you stand before Me, I'll take care of things also. You make decisions, then your decisions make you. Good? Bad? sometimes ugly. This is such a good chapter, this part of God's Word. Because number one, we see some amazingly godly women. And then we see one of those women making a decision with no security, no guarantees, no nothing. But all she was doing was watching her mother-in-law. She said, I want what she wants. I want to follow her because she will lead me closer to God. And when you make decisions, will it lead you closer to God? Just such an amazing story. So they return home. They walk into town. They don't even have a place to stay. They find a place. So ends Act 1 of 4 scenes in the book of Ruth. They go, they leave, they come back. In that day and time, it is important for us too, but in that day and time, there was no line, no more heir to carry on the family name. That was more important. That was very important to them. They're destitute. They have nothing. God's going to step in. We're going to be introduced to some agriculture next week. As fine as I can explain this to you, we're going to talk about the barley harvest. We're going to talk about the role that poor people have in going to fields. And what you're going to see in chapter 2, and this is really neat, is you're going to see God at work, orchestrating circumstances, directing and guiding Ruth and Naomi's steps. Chapter 2. And in chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, as we finish this series, it's going to be really neat at the end of the chapter 4, we're going to go to the book of Matthew. And we're going to open up and we're going to look through a long list of names, beginning with Adam and ending with Jesus Christ. About halfway through that list, we're going to look at a lady's name who was faithful to God, who walked with God. And God took care of her, first of all, and God blessed her. Amen? Amen. Neat story. Next week, if you want to read ahead, go ahead. So we're almost out of all the dark stuff here. Now it becomes really neat. We're going to see some of the culture of that day. We get to talk about that. We're going to see an interesting marriage proposal. Really interesting. We're going to see about uncovering feet. Kind of interesting. All that culture, but God is clearly at work. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your direction in our lives. Thank you for this great example that we have. And sometimes, Lord, I'm guilty of this, being very cognitive in making decisions. And yet there's another side of this that says, know me, love me, serve me all of your life. And evaluate your decisions in that way. Lord, help us to balance both of those. I pray that you'll just continue to guide us and direct us in our decisions we make today, small ones, big ones. I pray for those in decision-making times right now, that your word, your Spirit will touch their hearts again. You'll guide them and direct them. Lord, we thank you that we can give, and we do that because we love you and because it's part of our walk.